Did you know we have completely ad-free early access to all of our episodes? Well, we do. Not only that, but we have dozens of bonus episodes waiting for you. Head on over to patreon.com/ghosttownpod, and you can check it out for 7 days absolutely free. That's patreon.com/ghosttownpod. Lost in Space. I'm Jason Horton.
I'm Rebecca Lieb.
And this is Ghost Town.
What you just heard is called the Sound of Earth, a collage of sounds, data, and images meant to reflect all of the incredible and diverse phenomena of planet Earth. But what is it for, you might ask? The compilation is intended to be for aliens. Yes, yes, aliens. It's a recording, a kind of dynamic time capsule that currently lives aboard two interplanetary vessels made by and for intelligent life, and headed somewhere in space. Stay with me, because today on Ghost Town, we're talking about the Voyager Golden Record. But before we talk about the Golden Records themselves, it's important that we emphasize the vessels that took them into space. Also an interesting history with them. Voyager 1 and 2 are space probes that were launched by NASA on September 5th, 1977, and August 20th, 1977, respectively. Yes, the 2 was launched before the 1. Their trajectory was towards Jupiter and Saturn as part of the Voyager program to study the outer solar system and space beyond the sun's heliosphere. They were built to go far and to last well into the 2030s. And you know what? They've done their jobs. Communicating through the NASA Deep Space Network, both receive routine commands and transmit data to Earth. While Voyager 2 is a cool 13.3 billion miles from Earth and has traversed Jupiter, Saturn, Uranus, and Neptune, Voyager 1 holds the title as the most distant human-made object from Earth, and is projected to reach a distance of one light day from Earth in this November. While I know one light day doesn't sound that impressive, I can assure you that it is. One light day is the distance of about 16.1 billion miles away, and we can still communicate with it. It truly blows my mind. But Voyager 1 and 2 weren't designed to be out there forever. Well, they will be, but they're not coming back, and they won't be functional. The two have enough electric power to return engineering data until 2036, but 2026, the year we're recording this, 4 instruments are operational on Voyager 2, and only 2 instruments are operational on Voyager 1. The plasma wave subsystem, a mechanism measuring plasma and low-frequency radio waves, and a magnetometer, which is a navigational and search tool that measures the strength and direction of magnetic fields. As NASA has said about their Voyager probes, the two are, quote, destined, perhaps eternally, to wander the Milky Way. Like Voyager 1 and Voyager 2's predecessors, Pioneer 10 and 11, which featured a simple plaque with a message of peace, and some naked people, but we'll talk about that a little bit later, John R. Cassani, the Voyager and Pioneer's project manager, also wanted Voyager 1 and 2 to carry messages into the great beyond. These messages serve as multimedia time capsules, intended to communicate to extraterrestrials a story of the world of humans on Earth. But what do you tell as the whole story of Earth? How do you boil human existence down to its essence? Well, I don't know. It's a difficult task, one given to Mr. Carl Sagan himself. Cassani delegated the task of a profound interplanetary time capsule to put on the Voyager probes, and he emphasizes they needed to be as light as the Pioneer's plaques, to good old Carl Sagan, who, along with artist and writer, and also his wife at the time, Linda Salzman, and astrophysicist and astrobiologist Frank Drake, realized a metal phonograph record with a visual information piece would be a good artifact. And it's built to outlast magnetic tapes in the very harsh outer space environment. So, I have a question for you. How much do you think Cassani paid Sagan and his collaborators to make this golden record? Maybe one of my favorite pieces of trivia on this.
I don't know. This is 1977.
$1.5 million.
Wow, that is a great rate for this record. That's amazing. No, try $1,500 for 6 weeks of work. That's like Hollywood standards.
Yeah, that's like a freelance.
That's freelance. That's no W-2s. Yeah. That's a 1099 to be sure.
But in today's money, that's almost $2,700.
Whoa. Wow. Say less. Yeah. Say less to me about making no money. To their credit, Sagan and his colleagues contributed more out of pocket. But overall, of course, it was a labor of love. But let's get back to what goes on the actual record. The contents of the golden record, or to be specific, two 12-inch copper discs plated first with nickel and then gold with a cover of aluminum and electroplated with uranium-238, was selected for NASA by a committee chaired by Carl Sagan, and figuring out what actually went on the record took almost a year. The uranium has a special purpose too, by the way. With a half-life of 4.468 billion years, if a civilization were advanced enough, they could theoretically encounter the record and use the ratio of remaining uranium to the other elements to determine the age of the record, which I thought was also very cool. The record's front has the inscription, "To the makers of music, all worlds, all times," and also includes on the cover scientific drawings. You may have seen this if you've heard of this record. It looks very cool. It looks like an album cover. It's very cool.
You know what it kind of looks like? The Wu-Tang Clan's, they're like when they made one album.
Uh-huh.
And Martin's, what was his name? Martin Scorsese? The guy who was went to jail for, Martin Scorsese.
Oh, boy. I could look that up right now.
You
I
know
suppose.
Who it is. Everyone hates
everyone,
him.
Everyone hates him.
He
yes.
went to prison. He yes. bought. I remember he bought it because it was only they only made one copy. Once Upon a Time in Shaolin, maybe it's called. Uh-huh. I'm doing this without
yeah,
looking.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No. I know exactly what you're talking about. This. I wonder if they took inspiration from this for that.
Yeah.
I mean, I want this as a tattoo on my... I was very into the aesthetic of this record.
It's very cool. Mm-hmm. This is one of the rare... I mean, I say rare. It's been a bit since I sent you an article, right? Or I've sent you a thing that you already knew about, but it was something that we were both kind of like, oh, this is cool.
Yeah, this is very, very cool. And the inside is also cool. But it's also like, okay, what would you send into space? You know? And I think this was posed to me when this... maybe first came on my radar, like I said, back in maybe middle school, where they're like, what would you send out in space? I was like, I don't know, nothing. There's nothing good on this earth that would deserve to be seen by an extraterrestrial.
Maybe one of my stand-up clips.
Just one?
I think one, and they would be like, they would want to hear more, and they would have the technology to do it. I don't think I would need to send more than one. I'm very dynamic in that sense.
That's beautiful. Yeah. Just a reel out in the world.
just a humble Instagram reel.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Carl Sagan from the dead. Take note. Okay, so on the record, there are 116 images and a variety of natural sounds, like the sounds of birds, waves, whales, wind, the ocean, and thunder. Then they added audio content to represent humanity, including footsteps, laughter, music across cultures, a printed message from President Jimmy Carter that is very diplomatic and kind of boring, a cute greeting by Carl Sagan's 6-year-old son at the time, and spoken greetings in 55 ancient and modern languages. The images on the record showcase DNA, the solar system, human anatomy, reproduction. It includes cultural images like food, architecture, portraiture, and people just living their day-to-day lives. Care was taken to include not only pictures of humanity, but also animals, insects, plants, and landscapes. And then there's the music itself. The music selection is also incredibly eclectic, as you, again, might imagine, featuring works from Mozart, Bach, Beethoven, Stravinsky, but also Guan Pingyu, Blind Willie Johnson, Louis Armstrong, Kamil Jelilov, and electronic composer Laurie Spiegel. The inclusion of Chuck Berry's Johnny B. Goode is on there, somewhat controversially, with some committee members claiming that rock music was adolescence, even in 1977, saying this, to which Carl Sagan replied, quote, "There are a lot of adolescents on the planet." Well said. The Golden Record also carries an hour-long recording of the brainwaves of Anne Druyan, compressed into a minute of audio. During the recording of the brainwaves, Druyan thought of many topics, including Earth's history, civilizations, and the problems that they face, and what it was like to fall in love. And that's important to the story of the Golden Record. Not only was Anne Druyan a creative force and director of the project, she did fall in love with Carl Sagan and did become his wife. Now, I actually met her. This is something that I haven't talked about, I think, publicly anywhere, but I met her on the opening scene of The New Cosmos way back in 2016, I guess, when that came out. And she was one of those people that you could tell that they were, like, very cool, but, like, do not cross them. Like, very intense in a way where it's like, okay, I'm going to stand over here, but, like, you also, like, invited me to, like, go smoke weed with you in the corner, too. Like, it's a very...
Snitch.
That's right. I'm a cop. No, it was awesome. It was one of, like, an entertainment high that I had, for sure. And it was beautiful. It was in Monterey. Opening scene of this, like, new reboot. Everyone was, like, very, like, vibing on it very hard. It was a beautiful memory. But at that point, I also learned about this story. So Andrew Yun and Carl Sagan were married. In fact, they fell in love on this project. They met in 1974, initially at a dinner party hosted by writer Nora Ephron in New York City. Drian didn't know much about Sagan then, but she served as the creative director of the Golden Record Project, like we said, and they got closer. One such event of their closeness happened in June of 1977 when Drian called Sagan to share her excitement after finding an ancient Chinese piece of music called The Flowing Stream for the Golden Record. When Sagan called her back an hour later to talk about it, their conversation shifted from work to personal feelings. By the end of that single phone call, they realized that they were in love and they became engaged. For real. And yes, they were both technically in relationships with other people at the time.
I'm sorry.
Carl Sagan was married to his second wife, Linda Salzman, who was also working on the project, like I mentioned. Messy. And Drian was engaged to science writer Timothy Ferris, who was a close friend of Sagan's and was also working on this project. This should be a TV show. In fact, I would be surprised if it didn't become one at some point or wasn't in development at some point. Carl Sagan and Andrian married in 1981 and collaborated again on many projects since, including the famous Cosmos television series and until his death in 1996. A happy ending? Maybe. A lot of drama along the way? Absolutely. So what is more controversial about a cool record that a man and a woman made while rapidly falling in love with each other among their other colleagues whom they were also already married to? Don't worry, we'll tell you after this break.
I'll be doing some stand-up dates in San Francisco, Ojai, Sedona, Arizona, and then some East Coast dates. And if you would like to know when I'll be in your area, I'll put a link in the description, or it's on my Instagram, which is TheJasonHorton. Just drop your email, and I'll only email you if I happen to be in your area. I'm trying to collect a little email list when I go on a more robust tour. It would really help me out, and it would be a personal favor to me if you would do that. The link is in the description and also in my Instagram. Just drop your email, and I think I'll ask like the city and state or where you are in the world, and I'll only email you if I happen to be near you. And if you ever want to come see me and you need free tickets, just DM me on Instagram, and I will make it happen for the Ghost Town family.
Ooh, I love that. I love that. Even for me?
You get 10% off promo code Sagan. Sagan Snitch.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah. Are you going to get back into it?
Yeah, let's do it. Not all interdisciplinary Golden Record projects go off without a hitch. Despite all of these scientists and art directors being very involved, not everyone was happy about the Voyager Golden Record. Like I said, the records themselves were informed by the Pioneer's plaques, which included, at the time, line drawings of a man and a woman. Well, NASA got a lot of heat for having these drawings of a man and a woman on the plaque. I thought because they were naked and people were puritanical, but it was not that, not at least entirely. Art critics and feminists actually said that the plaques showed sexual bias because the man in the diagram performed the raised hand gesture of, like, we come in peace to greet the extraterrestrials, while the woman in the diagram has her hands at her side. As I was researching this, I was like, God, I miss the 70s when this was like a problem. You know, we have lots of different problems now, but it was a problem back then. Anyway, to appease these criticisms, the Voyager Golden Record was not allowed to have photographs of a nude man and woman on the record. Instead, they used only a silhouette of a couple with a woman raising her hand instead. Of course, it was also the 1970s, and the Beatles were gigantic, and they somehow had to be involved with the Golden Record, didn't they? At the recommendation of John Lennon, who was unable to take part in the project, I don't know, he had conflicts, I'm sure, Johnny Levine, who was still early in his career as a music producer, served as a sound engineer. Levine would joke that one of his most important gigs, this project, was creating just two records that no one, no human at least, would ever hear. Sagan's team was dying to include the Beatles song Here Comes the Sun on the record, but EMI, the record company with the copyrights, declined participation. Failure to secure permission for the song is cited as one of the biggest legal challenges of the whole project, which is depressing. Despite the artist's wishes to be on the record, Andruyan said in 2015, quote, "Yeah, that was one of the cases of having to see a tragedy of our planet. Here's a chance to send a piece of music into the distant future and distant time, and to give it a kind of immortality, and they're worried about money. We got this telegram from EMI saying that it would be $50,000 per record for two records, and the entire Voyager record cost $18,000 to produce." So, no Beatles on the golden record. Fair, unfair, did humanity miss out? I don't know. When the records were complete, like we said in the beginning, they were launched on Voyager 1 and 2 in 1977. And then that was it. But history has not forgotten about this project. Right after Carl Sagan, F.D. Drake, Andruyan, Timothy Ferris, John Lomberg, and Linda Salzman, you know, if they were all still speaking to each other, all wrote a book about the process of making the record called Murmurs of Earth, the Voyager Interstellar Record. A CD-ROM version was issued by Warner New Media in 1992. In 2017, to celebrate the 40th anniversary of the record, Ozma Records launched a Kickstarter project to release the record as an LP with a hardcover book, turntable slip mat, and an art print. That Kickstarter raised $1.4 million, and it went so well that they did another edition of it. And in January 2018, Ozma Records' Voyager Golden Record, 40th Anniversary Edition, won a Grammy Award for Best Boxed or Limited Edition Package. I would love to get my hands on this box set personally, because space to me seems like cold and lonely and distant, but just having the knowledge that this is out there somehow like weirdly inspired me, like gave me hope in my dark, dark heart. I was like, oh, this is like a beautiful thing that we did. To what end? I'm not sure. But I was like, you know what? I'll pay some money to find out.